And hello, this is Intuitive Soul Radio, and today we have a new show called Uncovering the Divine Within. And it's on Intuitive Soul Radio, and Intuitive Soul is about creating a path to divine consciousness. And what a wonderful way to start this, because this is all about uncovering the divine within. And our guest today, or not our guest, our host today is Carrie Cannon. So welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Lori.
So, Carrie, why don't you tell us about yourself and about the show, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, awesome. Well, what I have found is that my path is exactly that, uncovering the divine within. We've had a couple interviews, and, you know, I talked about this before, but many years ago I had an experience where I realized that all of my painful and challenging experiences were there to show me the product of my thinking, and they were there to offer me context. And what I realized from that was that every single thought that I had, which we now understand as the law of attraction, was bringing to me all of those experiences. And it was up to me to transform my thinking and learn to love, trust, and believe in myself, because my thoughts were riddled with doubt and fear and insecurity and all of that. And my process has been one of uncovering the divine within and finding out who I really am and learning to love myself. And as I have sort of evolved, my understanding of the self has evolved also, where it is not only Carrie, this, you know, physical being, it is actually consciousness itself. And so what I do in my work is basically I help people to understand that about themselves, because really, Lori, underneath it all, in the self, what we want is absolute freedom to be exactly who we are. And we find ourselves burdened with thoughts that tell us that we are less than wonderful, less than all that is, that we should put other people's needs before our own, that to be selfish is a bad thing, and all of those things. And along my path, I have found actually the opposite, that I am that I am. You know, I am that indwelling presence, and the true person or the true being that I am is expressed through Carrie and through Lori and through everybody else who, through all of life. And to know myself in this present moment of now is self-realization. And that's what I help other people to realize themselves. And it's an ongoing process. It's always evolving. It's always moving. It's always expanding and going forward. And that's what I do.
You know, I think that's really important to reinforce is, you know, we think that, you know, we're achieving something, that we're going towards something that, you know, has a final destination, where in fact, nothing has a final destination. Not even God has evolved.
Right.
It's a continuous process.
Mm-hmm.
So you've also written a book about
Uncovering
the divine within.
Yeah. And that was actually, I started writing that, actually I had, after I had my first realization that, oh my God, all of these experiences that I've ever had that were hurtful for me, I actually attracted to myself, I drew them to myself so that I could see the content of my thinking. I sort of got a download, and that download, because I asked, I was like, oh, this is so amazing, I need to, how can I share this with other people? And I got this sort of download, which were like sort of micro steps in what happened within that instant. And so what I did was I created something called the Uncovering the Divine Within Workbook, which is just a short little thing. And then after that, I wrote, you know, as my understanding evolved, I wrote my book, which is called Uncovering the Divine Within, which is actually sort of the first step in understanding yourself. It's a lot about accepting and embracing who you are from all of the baggage and attachments and everything that we come in with through childhood, and releasing all of the self-doubt and negativity and all of that. And then since writing the book, obviously, you know, my understanding of awareness has changed, but that still has helped people transform their lives.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a really awesome first step, you know, in really asking yourself those intimate, sensitive, honest questions about, okay, what is it that I'm doing to create this? How have I, what experiences have I attracted to myself to show me what I'm thinking? And then how can I transform that into what I really want, which is absolute freedom in our lives.
Perfect. So today we thought we'd talk, and probably several interviews, but we're going to talk about attachment.
Yeah. And what led me into thinking about attachments was actually the reason that I've switched the show over from the World Awaken Project to All About Me. because I realized it was interesting because I got my, you know, every year we get our tax bill, you know, and we have to pay our school taxes and all of that. And my tax bill is $5,500. Mm-hmm. And here I was feeling like I'm supporting all of these people in their work, and I'm, you know, promoting them, and, you know, what you give, you receive. So I'm like, okay, why is it that I'm in a position where I'm promoting all of these people and, you know, helping to spread word and, you know, even paying to have them be able to come on the show and so forth, and why is that not, you know, coming back? Like, there's something wrong in the equation. It just didn't seem to be, something seemed to be sort of askew. And I had been listening to Rich Dad, Poor Dad on a book on tape, and he says to pay yourself first. And in paying yourself first, after you've paid yourself first, then you can go and you can share what you've got with everybody else. But until you pay yourself first, you can't, you don't have it. You don't have what it is that you want to share with everybody else, and you can't then, you know, be charitable and all of that because you're worried about your own survival. And my life, I live a pretty easy life. It's pretty effortless. I am very happy with my two kids and myself, and just, we have a beautiful, very large house and a little over half an acre in a beautiful neighborhood. And after I got this tax bill, I was like, okay, why do I feel so financially oppressed? And I realized that, you know, the answer is always right in front of your nose, that when I had approached you about, you know, potentially merging and possibly bringing Intuitive Soul to the World Awaken Project, I had it in my mind that it was all about World Awaken and all about sort of other people. And then when we switched over where it made more sense, oh, yeah, just, you know, go with Lori, go with Intuitive Soul, and just bring World Awakened over there, I was still attached to the idea of it being World Awakened. And it's almost like that, the attachment to that idea of, you know, sharing things about other people was what was sort of hindering me. And then it was like the cosmic duh, you know, like the divine intervention, the cosmic 2x4, whatever you want to call it. It was like, here's your answer, Carrie. You know, I had been wanting to really see myself grow. And since I was very, very little, I knew that I would be someday really influential and really help people in some way. And at first I perceived that I would be a singer, and that's, you know, that's how I would reach lots and lots of people. And that dream sort of died because it was sort of, I guess, squashed out of me. But then this dream came along to really help people really to become free, because that's what we all want. Our life purpose is to be free, to be exactly who we are, yet we have these attachments and burdens that we take on that tell us that we aren't and we're not good enough and we can't be free because, you know, we have to worry about this and we have to, you know, do this for this person, do that for that person, please this person, please that person. Oh, it's not morally correct to do this or that or whatever. And ultimately, we want to be free to be ourselves. So what happened with the World Awaken Project was I was so attached to how that would come out and, you know, thinking that this collaborative partnership was, you know, more about that I had forgotten about me and about my dream, because my dream has always been to see me, you know, out there helping, you know, people all over the place to transform their lives. And it wasn't really about me and other people helping people. It was about me. And I also, excuse me, I'm getting over allergies, I guess. I also realized that my work is the absolutely most important work that I have. You know, Carrie Cannon is the most important work that I have. It is not the World Awaken Project. It's not anything else other than me. My work, it's all about me. And from that, in sharing myself and in sharing my process and in sharing what I do, that is my sort of divine work. And I had been looking at this other project and wanting to help other people so much that I had lost sight of that. And it's through the attachments that I had to, you know, wanting to help other people. But I had forgotten that I really needed to nurture me and allow myself to grow in my career and in my work and all of that first. Because there's a small group of people who are very connected to me and who really have gotten a lot of insight and inspiration and have really transformed their lives from my work. But it's a small set of people because they're the ones that participate in forums with me and that connect with me and so forth. And the world at large doesn't really know who I am because I haven't allowed that to sort of become known through outlets such as this.
Right. So that's bearing your soul and letting people know, you know, I guess really part of the healing process that we all have to go through. World Awaken Project is an amazing project that I think will still take off and, you know, we'll all become a part of that as well as, you know, collaborating together and working together. And I think it, you know, it's an amazing project that will, you know, allow for a lot of people to connect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by bearing your soul and really looking at the attachment that you had to it allowed you to do some deeper healing.
Yes, very much. And, you know, Lori, that's part of the thing, too. I mean, I'm always, like, when I told you about my, you know, realization, your response was, wow, that's a lot of deep work. And, you know, I do it all the time. And I do it in forums all the time, but people are not exposed to it. And when people are exposed to it, it's like, wow, you know, because I perceive that my greatest strength is my ability to be vulnerable or my vulnerability because I look at everything as honestly as I can, you know, because we can't always see all the layers of what's going on. But what I do is I'll dig as deeply as I possibly can and I'll expose it, you know, I'll send it out, I'll, you know, put it on public display and then I'll work through it. And it's from that working through it and from that willingness to be open and vulnerable and honest that not only do I grow, but consciousness grows. And those who, you know, are present to that process also grow sort of vicariously through it. And the thing is, I love doing it. I love, and it probably sounds really weird, but I absolutely love looking at all of the things that might or might not be going on, seeing, oh, I'm attached to this idea here, oh, and that's why I created that. And then looking at it and saying, okay, well, all I need to do is release this attachment or release that thought, or, wow, this has been holding me back. And when I do it in sort of on public display, people respond tremendously. They respond in ways that it's like, wow, you know, thank you for the insight. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm sort of doing it for other people, but really I'm doing it for me because the more honest I can be with anyone, the more honest I'm being with myself because you are myself. You know, myself is consciousness. And if I can be honest with, you know, open and honest and vulnerable and naked in front of all of consciousness, then, you know, I grow.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is a really big thing with a lot of people. And a lot of people think that it's a very negative thing that you have to hide. And, you know, it's given the concept that, you know, vulnerability is a weakness. And I, like you, agree that it's very much a strength. And to be vulnerable takes a lot more strength than to pretend and to hide that vulnerability from the world.
Oh, yeah. I find that by allowing myself to be vulnerable, I'm invincible. There's nothing anybody could do to hurt me. You know, name calling or whatever, because I get a lot of it because I'm very outspoken, I'm very direct, and not everybody likes that. You know, people don't necessarily appreciate that, but you know, that's not my problem. My willingness to be completely open and honest does create sort of an invincibility. And since nobody can expose anything about me that I won't expose about myself. And that's really where people feel that, you know, being vulnerable is a difficult thing, I think, or that it's a bad thing because people are afraid to be exposed. And we perceive that if we're exposed, then, you know, bad things can happen. Well, if that's your thought, you know, if that's what you believe, that you need to hide things about yourself or from yourself, then, yeah, it's hard to look at the truth. Like when somebody else exposes your truth for you, it can really hurt. But when you allow yourself to just be totally open and honest to the moment, however that moment shows up, then there's nothing can hurt you. Absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about authenticity, because I think, you know, a lot of people don't really understand, you know, there's a lot of people out there that teach, you know, we should be detached from our emotions and, you know, we need to learn that type of detachment. And I think it may have done us a bit of a disservice by expressing this in a way that most people don't really understand. There are obviously times when detachment is helpful, but in most cases, and certainly what you're talking about, by being vulnerable and open, you really are open to whatever emotion and expression is coming forth.
Right. That's an excellent question. Thank you. Detachment to me, I've misunderstood detachment. I've been involved through my sort of evolvement. I've been involved in many different sort of spiritual groups. And one group that I had been really an active participant in was very into sort of detachment. And I didn't understand what that meant either. I thought that detachment meant that you are basically emotionless,
mm-hmm.
and that you don't care, and that you suppress any feelings or any passions or anything like that. And I was just like, no, thank you. That's not real. That's not for me. And it's perceived that detachment is almost nihilistic, that it's not really happening, so therefore it's not important to me. But what we neglect to see is that that's just denial. It's just a form of denial. And when we can learn to love ourselves and accept ourselves, how we show up, and identifying ourselves with the moment, and understanding that everything that we say and everything that we do and everything that we are is exactly perfect, regardless of how it comes out, when we have that degree of self-love and self-confidence and self-trust, then we can say what we really feel in our heart, and if it's not received, then it's okay. And that is what I perceive as actual authentic detachment. Be exactly who you are. Accept yourself however you show up. And if somebody else doesn't like it, then that's not your problem. You know, as long as you can be accepting of yourself and what's going on in your life and in your experience, then you can be detached from how people receive it.
Hmm.
And that's my understanding of authentic, of being authentic and of detachment.
Yeah, I like that. I think that that's probably what a lot of people mean when they say that. I certainly, you know, I'm definitely for the person who, you know, can get raw and can get emotional and can express themselves exactly how they're feeling instead of, you know, forcing it away or forcing it down inside of yourself where it causes illness and pain and suffering. And we don't really realize it because we're not really healing it. We're just pushing it away.
Yeah. And a lot of that also comes down to, like, I'll jokingly tell people, well, jokingly or not, that I'm a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am, because we all are. We all want to try and sort of control our experience. And what I try and do is release myself from any resistance that I might have, and also in releasing myself from that resistance. And resistance will show up very subtly, and it can show up very strongly. It can show up in forms of just, you know, trying to check in to see if something's okay, or like it's kind of like if you plant a seed and you keep checking to see if the seed is growing, it's not going to be able to grow. But if you just plant it and let it grow, you're not resisting the growth process. Like if you need to know if something's happening, or if you are trying not to make something happen, like if you are either trying to make something happen or trying not to make it happen, those are both forms of resistance. But if you can just relax and be still in each moment and be present, then the resistance isn't there. So it's kind of like control will happen that way too, and that's a form of not being able to sort of detach from the outcome too, because we're so invested in what other people think about us that we don't allow ourselves the authentic experience of being able to just be with me and not check in and not need to control everybody and everything else that's going on around there. Because when you can be comfortable with yourself, and when I can be comfortable with me, that's when my greatest work is done. That's when I'm happiest. That's when I can see, you know, my creations come to fruition. I don't know if there was a question in there.
No, it wasn't really a question. It was just really talking about, you know, how the vulnerability and how, you know, being authentic and expressing your emotions, you know, is a real part of who we are. And I do...
That's where the control thing came in.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, when we talk about control, what control does for us, I mean, we really, you know, whether it's an attachment to what other people think or an attachment just to how we want this to have an outcome, we're attached to, you know, this process that we're on. We're attached to this journey as it's something outside of us instead of something that's within us. And we seem to always, you know, continue to look outside and to try and control all of the outside influences instead of really, you know, getting that stillness, that quietness, that peace within us, and knowing and having faith and having trust that everything is going the way we want.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, right now looking at my life, it's funny because since I decided to change the format and since I decided to focus on, you know, attachments, I have noticed so many areas. It's kind of, you know, like the spiral dynamic. You go through it, and then you go through it again, and then you go through it again at deeper and deeper levels. But I've noticed so many things that I've been attached to and that have really held me back. Lori, I just want to tell you right now, I am so excited that, you know, I have decided to move the show over to just be all about me, because it's just like inside I'm just jumping up and down like, woohoo, finally she got it. What I've noticed is throughout the last couple of weeks after I decided, okay, I'd really like to talk about attachments, you know, I've noticed it in relationships. I've noticed it in, you know, the way that my house shows up. I've noticed it in so many different things. And one of them, it's, you know, it's something I'm going through right now, or sort of perhaps a little past, but I had formed a brief relationship with a man who I had created a manifestation of the exact perfect relationship that I was looking for. And then I started cleaning my bedroom. And the day after, or the day of, you know, cleaning my bedroom, I met this person. And he showed up, and he was exactly what I had written down on my little manifestation thing. However, I forgot to write down things that I take for granted. Mm-hmm. I forgot to focus on the things that I take for granted. For example, I've had, you know, many long distance, but very deep and intimate relation, not many, a couple, and but they're very deep and intimate, and I take that depth and the intimacy for granted, because, you know, I show up and I am how I am, and I'm very open and honest and vulnerable with myself, with my lover, with, you know, with life, and I wasn't necessarily looking for that, you know. And then I created this relationship, And I also wanted somebody who would join me in my passion. I wanted somebody who would, you know, have a desire or a passion to help people wake up.
Hmm.
And I manifested somebody who would help me with my business and with my work and all of that. But there were elements that were missing. And I found that for a while, I was attached to the idea that he would help me with my work. I need to cough. And he showed up, and he showed up exactly perfectly, exactly as I created this. And then I found out that really, I didn't necessarily want that. I needed to show myself that I could promote myself, and I could, you know, promote my work, and I could do what I was doing. And I already knew that, but some fear inside of me told me that, probably some childhood thing, told me that, you know, without somebody to help me, I would not be able to succeed.
Mm.
And so I saw that attachment in myself, which was projected onto this person. And then also along with that, I saw a lot of things that I really cherished in my other relationships that were just missing, because also this person was more local. You know, he was only a half an hour drive as opposed to, you know, needing to cross the Atlantic. And so what I found was that my attachments to my passion were also being attached to him. And also I had a previous experience where, and I kind of, at first when I met this person, I sort of sensed that that could happen. And I thought that it was coming from him, but actually I realized that it was coming from me. And because I've had this thing all along where I felt like I needed somebody to help me fulfill my passion, because my vision is so enormous that I don't know where the help's going to come from. So several years ago, when I went through what I call my own personal hell, I had attracted someone who said that he would join me and, you know, help me with my work and, you know, all of that. And I became so attached and entangled in this relationship that I basically, no, not basically, I did. I like lost myself to this idea of what I thought our future would look like.
Mm.
And in that, it was almost as if my soul, my entire soul was ripped out. You know, it was like I was crushed. And it was no fault of his. He showed up perfectly, exactly as he should have shown up, because without him showing up the way he did and being exactly as he was, I would not have seen that I was willing to sacrifice my soul, you know, to have a partner who would help me with my passion. And then this time it showed up again, only not as strong, or maybe as strong. I mean, I certainly could have become, you know, entrenched in that, but I really realized that I truly love my autonomy. I love being by myself and doing my own thing. I love connecting with people and stuff like that too, but it needs to be very deep. And I was almost willing to sacrifice all of my dreams to merge with this person to, you know, sort of have half of my dream and not have full control and full ownership over my own dream. And actually that has sort of been happening along with the releasing the World Awakened thing. And I'm sort of coming to a new understanding that in order for me to fulfill the dreams that I want to fulfill, it's got to be all about me. It's got to be all about Carrie, so that I can share me and expose myself, so that, you know, so that I'm out there and show myself how valuable my message is in, you know, sharing it with other people.
Hmm. Again, a very deep and, you know, wonderful aspect of who you are showing through in a way that, you know, a lot of women may not necessarily understand, because I think, you know, for women, a lot of us, you know, we want that relationship. We're looking for, you know, the knight in shining armor to come and rescue us, or we're looking for the relationship that means more to us generally than who we are or what our work is or, you know, what we are trying to bring forth to the world. Because in almost in everybody, you know, the main message is that we just want to be loved. So the love that we didn't get as children, you know, we continue to seek outside of ourselves from a partner. Mm-hmm. So it's very, well, I mean, why don't you talk a little bit more about, you know, what that means for you? Because obviously, you know, the realizations that you've come through, the parts that you understand about yourself, I mean, women need to kind of get that, because I think there's a lot of them that are giving up who they are and their dreams, because there aren't a lot of, you know, men out there that have done the same type of work or on the same type of path. And I mean, a lot of men are still quite asleep, or they're doing it in a different, completely different way. And, you know, we do get caught up in that.
Yeah. You know, what prompted me to sort of look at this was my interview with Christian Pankhurst last interview.
Yeah.
So it had me, I mean, that was an amazing interview. I was really grateful that I got to interview him before I decided to change over. But, you know, it was something that he said, and something that my friend Brian said, who was with me for the World Awakened Project for a while. And they got me to look at myself a little differently. And Christian basically said what I just said, you know, that a lot of times women are willing to sacrifice themselves for, you know, for somebody, for a relationship that doesn't necessarily suit them. And, you know, that really got me thinking. And because there were other things going on in the relationship, too. And actually, it was the other things that really made me strongly pull away, and once I pulled away, I could see all of my attachments and, you know, why I kind of, you know, was willing to stay with it, you know, without even seeing the other things that were not working. But when I spoke to Christian in that interview, it really made me see how we as women really do sacrifice ourselves. But, you know, and I don't think it's just our social conditioning. Like, a lot of women are sort of told, and this wasn't necessarily my experience, but it's sort of, you know, within the thoughts on the planet, that, you know, women need a guy to be able to survive. And if you don't, then, you know, you won't be able to make it. If you're a single mom, forget about it, because, you know, you have all these expenses and you have kids and you don't have the support system. And we buy into that, and we buy into all of these limiting beliefs about who we are and you know, our ability to succeed or not. And we have all of these ideas about, you know, money and relationship and love and so forth. One of my favorite mentors is Sandy Forster, and she was $100,000 in debt, a single mom with two little kids, and now she's a millionaire, and she does Wildly Wealthy, and she's my prosperity mentor. And you know, it's so inspiring to see people like that who have released their conditioning of, you know, the parental guidance that we get and so forth, and the social guidance that we get on, you know, basically the things that we should do. I was recently told by my father, after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I realized that, you know, I wasn't managing my money well, and I didn't know how. And so I talked to my dad, who's, he does pretty well for himself. And I'm like, you know, you never taught me how to handle money. And he's like, well, basically you live within a budget, and if I were you, I would sell your house. And I love my house. You know, I don't want to move. I have so many things that would have to be moved. So it's like, okay, well, I asked myself, what's my other option? And, you know, the other option is, well, just make enough money so that you can, you know, afford to, you know, be in your house and maintain it properly and all of that. And so I've been working on really diligently on transforming those thoughts, because as a woman, as a single parent, I find that I am sort of looking for that knight in shining armor or that savior or, you know, whatever. And as long as I keep doing that, I can't focus on what I need to focus on, which is my work, which I know you feel this about your work, and I feel everybody should feel this way about their work. I feel my work is the most important work on the planet, you know, and it's perfectly suited for me. And it's just, you know, once I sort of looked at it and I was like, you know, my cosmic duh, then it was just like, of course, that's exactly what you should be doing. And, you know, it brings me joy and it makes me feel love. And that's another thing. Love, we perceive as women specifically, and I don't know about guys because I don't live in the mind of a guy, that love comes from other people. And, you know, if somebody loves us, they'll do something for us. Where I have found in my experience that every single moment is an act of love. And the freer I feel in that moment, that is love. So if, and that can happen even in an argument or a discussion, a heated discussion. I mean, I can be sparring with someone and I can be totally enjoying myself and totally loving that moment. And I can also be, you know, having a very intimate moment with one of my kids or something, and I can be totally loving that. Those are both expressions of love. They just come out differently because it's, you know, the passion and the life that comes through me and my ability to feel it or not feel what's going on with me that allows me to experience my own love. And as long as I perceive that, you know, there's some external force that needs to show up in some certain way in order for me to fulfill my passion, then I'm not going to be giving myself or expressing to myself the great degree of love that I actually do feel.
Yeah. That's, yeah, it's really important for us to understand as women, you know, really what has been ingrained to us, what beliefs we have, just to be more aware of why we're doing things, why we try to control our lives so much, why we, you know, give up so much of who we are to be, you know, in a relationship or even getting caught up in work. I mean, we can give so much of who we are, and we're giving away our power without realizing it. Mm-hmm. And we really need to bring that back and bring it back within us.
Yeah, I think we as women generally don't know where our power is, though, also. Like with men, you know, it might be in adrenaline and so forth. But our power really is in being present and in being that nurturing, that divine feminine, sort of the nurturing and the compassion that flows through us. And, you know, it's almost like we've turned into, and I think Kristen touched on this last week too, we have turned into, you know, men with female parts. You know, we try and be very successful in the workplace and so forth and super mom, and then we come home and, you know, we'll make dinner and we'll make sure the kids get the homework done and, you know, bring them to activity, like whatever it takes. And we run ourselves ragged instead of just embracing who we are, our feminine nature, which is not competitive. And I think we had talked about this before. Women don't have a competitive nature. We prefer cooperation. And, you know, when we're not cooperating, it doesn't feel so good to us. And I feel like the world is sort of turning on its ear now, and we're understanding that, you know, too much competition is really not healthy. We need a balance. I'm not saying that everything needs to be cooperative because, you know, that's the feminine aspect of us. But everything doesn't need to be competitive either. And we're still living very much in a competitive paradigm. And in that competitive paradigm, since women don't really resonate with that, we get lost in our social conditioning. And we don't know who we are. We don't know how to claim our feminine power. We don't know, okay, what does it mean to be me? Who am I? You know, I feel like I'm a worthy and successful person, but it seems like there's a piece missing there or something. And what is that piece? Because I can't identify it. So, you know, a lot of it is just allowing ourselves to relax into who we are and accept how we feel in every moment. And when we can just relax and allow ourselves to start accepting, then our power becomes just evident because we can see it more easily when we're not striving and stressing and trying to make things happen.
Hmm. And it's a funny thing, competition, you know, we don't have clear examples of what it means to be feminine. We don't have role models other than, you know, the sex kitten or, you know, women have had to sort of create their own rules if they're going to live in this male-dominated, which is becoming more balanced, but it's still a male-dominated world that we're in. And so this competition thing that you talk about and, you know, who we are, I mean, we don't really have those role models to assist us in understanding who we are.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of it, like you talked about the sex kitten, I think, you know, there is a lot of power in our feminine sexuality,
mm-hmm.
but it's so perverted in the way it's portrayed that people don't understand it. Like on my in my picture and on my website, you know, I there's that picture of me there. And I get a lot of flack about that picture because people don't understand it. You know, it's Uncovering the Divine Within is, you know, basically the title of my work. And people perceive from seeing that picture, which is also the picture that's on Intuitive Soul, is a cropped version of that. They perceive that it means something like sinful or overly sexual, but it's just the divine feminine beauty that shines through, and it's really interesting the responses that I've gotten from that. But I do perceive that feminine, like we have also denied our own sexuality because oftentimes we find ourselves in situations where, you know, we may have been abused as a kid or, you know, we may feel like sex is a way, you know, to just satisfy somebody. And we have not gotten in touch with what it truly means to be open and vulnerable. And I think a lot of that, too, is from the competitive paradigm. Like, you can't be open and vulnerable if you're competing. You can't feel like we won't allow ourselves, if we're competing with somebody, we're not going to put ourselves in a situation where we're going to feel like we want to be vulnerable and open to somebody. So we are so sort of misguided or lost in our sexuality because, again, like you said, we don't know how to embrace it. We don't know even what it is, really. And I've been very fortunate in that, you know, through my explorations, I've, you know, explored some very intimate, deep things. And one of those is Tantra. And I have not had the ability to explore Tantra in the way that I would like to. But I really feel that that is one of the ways that we can explore our feminine sexuality because it's all about being present. It's all about being completely present in the moment and allowing yourself to feel and do what the moment, you know, dictates. And in that presence, you find your divine feminine power. And that's also the same presence where you allow yourself to be open and honest, where you find your divine feminine power. And it's in the moment, in each and every moment, that we are willing to fully experience ourselves, that we can harness and tap into our divine feminine, because that is us. That is who we are. We are the moment.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we also have to heal, you know, the sexual perversion that is very dominant in our society, as you say. I mean, I think it's probably one of the, you know, biggest problems in society. If we weren't so repressed mm-hmm. and then become obsessed, mm-hmm. you know, we probably wouldn't be in war and we wouldn't have all the things that are occurring. But it's such a huge issue that it really creates a lot of problems, not just for women, but for men. And so having a pure spiritual experience in sexuality, as Tantra suggests, I mean, it's hard. When you do have it, it also creates, you know, these very strong connections. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And, yeah. And it digs up all of those fears, all of the, you know, all the breaks come out when we do our open ourselves up. But as we start to do it and as we start to learn and understand, okay, what makes me tick? Why am I, you know, when I become close to this person who I really, really love and I know I love, why am I pushing back? You know, why? And it's all, and, you know, we're all working on our own process. And anyone who comes in contact with any of your shows is obviously working on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you with the repression, the sexual oppression, and that's what creates all the perversion. I truly, honestly feel if we were not so obsessed with sin and sex and having it be taboo and all of that, not that it is, but there's a lot of it, you know. The reason that sex sells is because we see it as dirty or bad or something that, you know, we were, you know, imprinted as kids that it's something that you shouldn't do. And then we have totally dysfunctional relationships with our own sexuality. And, you know, it goes from moderately dysfunctional to, like, you know, perhaps being a little bit frigid to being completely dysfunctional and being, you know, like a sexual criminal. And I really perceive that if we would just embrace our sexuality as something that's as natural as dancing or breathing, then we wouldn't have any of this. It would be like, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you don't have people running around, you know, like having dancing perversions, you know, like that just doesn't happen. Or, you know, obsessed with breathing. Well, maybe some people, but, you know, it just doesn't happen like that. You know, there aren't criminals that are out there with all of these other, you know, perversions. It's because we have denied and we've rejected our own sexuality. And that is such a part of human nature. I mean, none of us would be here if nobody had sex. And so it's such a part of who we are, yet we see it as something that's so wrong. And it's in that those thoughts and those beliefs that all of the weird stuff comes out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd love to see us move beyond that. And I do perceive that claiming the feminine, the divine feminine, is a major part of that.
Mm-hmm. And just allowing it to be, like, just to understand it. I mean, that's, you know, the biggest thing is that because we've never had any role models, we don't know what that means. And so
yeah,
that perversion's out there. That, I mean, it's prevalent in everywhere you look, from media to, you know, the racks on a convenience store. I mean, it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And until we get over that, we're not going to be able to figure out who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Probably as women. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of a thought that just hit me.
But. Yeah, and it's so important for women to start having a healthier understanding of themselves, because if we are to come into balance, which is really what this time is all about, you know, moving from the masculine dominant society into a place of balance, not into a, you know, a feminine dominant society, but into a place of true balance. And the only way that can happen is for us as women to start understanding and being aware and realizing who we are.
And it's not up to men to do that for us. You know, like with my work, I was looking for a man to help me and to partner with me and to, you know, partner with me in so many different ways. And it's really not his job. You know, it's not a man's job to help me with my passion. And it's not a man's job to help a woman claim her divine feminine.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job, and it's our responsibility to claim that. And to, you know, grow and to get through whatever blocks we need to get through, because we run the whole gamut, you know. It's like we are starting to claim it, but really in consciousness itself, it's really been oppressed. And it is completely our responsibility. And, you know, men can help us get there, but we really need to take the initiative and say, I want to know myself. I need to claim myself. I am the divine feminine, And I want to know ways of expressing that. And if we ask ourselves, ask within, okay, who am I? You know, what am I? What is the divine feminine? How is that expressed through me? How can I express that, you know, from me? Then those answers will come, and they will come sort of spontaneously and, you know, throughout the courses of our lives. And we will, you know, just intuitively know. But until we ask ourselves those questions until we start living in accordance with the answers that we get and boldly and courageously stepping into that, we're going to be, you know, slow-moving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the men, really, you're right, men are looking for that too, because they don't have a guidebook either. Men, because we have so strongly swung in that direction, I feel like the reason that women do a lot more inner work, perceptually, is that women and men are still in the competitive paradigm. And as long as men are still stuck in that competitive paradigm too, they're not going to be able to get in touch with their inner self. So women have the burden of, not the burden, I mean, it's exhilarating to me, but it's the responsibility of the woman to claim herself and show men how to do it too, because we are responsible for the divine feminine, and once we show them, then they will be able to then open up and wake up, as we are starting to do also. Our awakening, or their awakening to the divine feminine, is dependent upon our awakening to our own divine feminine. And then they'll just follow, follow the way, because they still want to be part of our lives, and we still want to be part of their lives. I love men, and men love me. And, it's the understanding of, who am I, and who am I in relationship to you, and how can we then grow together, that allows for growth in that direction.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, but I definitely agree that, you know, it's in women's hands right now, because if we can't identify and work towards, you know, uncovering that divine feminine energy, you know, men won't have any place to grow. Because they have to be able to find that balance as well. So it's an interesting time, and we certainly are, you know, increasing the ramp of energy in our lives that are allowing us to, you know, have access to this energy to shift, to grow, to become more aware, and certainly everything is coming into our face.
Right. It sure is.
Yeah. Okay, so is there anything else about attachment for this segment that you want to bring up that we haven't really talked on?
You know, I think that as far as attachment is concerned for today, I feel pretty complete. I did want to mention that, you know, if people are interested in having questions answered for these discussions and things like that. Like, as you know, we're going to kind of go free flow.
Right.
If people would like to, you know, have a question directed or, you know, put something out there, feel free to contact me. There's a contact form from my website, and you can just ask a question, or you can send one to Lori or whatever. That would be greatly appreciated because we are one consciousness. And as that, you know, as one consciousness, anything that comes up is, you know, fair game.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's an excellent idea. I think the more questions we get, the more it'll allow us to know, you know, what direction people are wanting to flow into.
Yeah, and explore.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you for being so flexible and, you know, my deciding to kind of change it all over to all about me.
Well, I think that's the most important thing. I agree totally, is that this format has really been about allowing others to have their voice and I think it's really important that we get out our message and that we're teaching. And, you know, Intuitive Soul is about making sure that, you know, the messages are getting out, that there's so many incredible people out there, and you being one of them, Carrie, that, you know, are doing the work and setting an example for people in a way that allows them to, you know, come to greater understanding about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we do.
So is our next one going to be on the 30th, or are we waiting until the first?
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
Okay.
The 30th.
It's either the 30th or the first Wednesday of October.
Let's do the first Wednesday of October. We'll do the first and second for a while.
First and third.
And then I'll just...
Perfect.
You know, when I'm ready, then I'll just move over to
doing
either every week or, you know, whatever.
All right. Beautiful.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Lori.
So we'll see everybody in October.
Great.
Take care.
Have a great 2 weeks.
You
or
too.
3 weeks, whatever. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.